Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to teach on part two of the series or the message that I began on Sunday. We talk about breaking the yoke of iniquity. And in that, coming to a place of understanding what it's going to take for a greater degree of manifestation, God's power upon the earth. That's what we believe in God to do, because once we begin to see a manifestation of God's power like we've never seen before, I'm talking about earth seeing that manifest, and God is not doing that. Understand, the sign is really for the unbeliever, because there are a lot of people that are doubters and skeptics in relation to who the Lord is. But those of us who are saved, God want to use us so that the manifestations will be taking place or brought forth through us. But the only way those manifestations will occur is that the people of God must be on that level of faith. We have to reach or arrive to a level of faith whereby God's will can be done in such a way we trust him to do whatever he will to do in us. He's going to do it, but he's looking for our people to work through. So we're going to go back to the scripture that I read on Sunday, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And this time we're going to begin to look at it a little closer, where it says it's talking about the return of the Lord and realizing that the Lord is going to return. Now, we talk about the return of the Lord. He's going to return in glory and power, his majesty, his strength. Realize that he did many things when he was on the earth the first time, the first coming of the Lord. And when he entered his earthly ministry at age 30, we begin to see the signs and wonders and miracles. But then the Bible said, now that he's ascended into heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, right hand of majesty on high, he's coming back again, not as a meek and humble lamb, but he's coming back as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's coming to measure vengeance upon the enemy, his power, his might, his force against all unrighteousness will be displayed upon the earth. So we have to really come to a place of seeing that. Whatever is on the wrong side of this, we begin to see God's power dealing with it. But then he's coming to vindicate his own. And those who trusted him, those who had confidence in him, those who believed his word, the Lord will vindicate his own, and he will have vengeance upon his enemy. But here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and are gathering together to him, he says, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. He says, let no one deceive you by any means. He says, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now let's take our time. Let's begin to really look at this, and let's begin to see what the Lord is saying to us, because at that particular time, there were those that believed that the Lord had already come, because they looked at it from a total, overly spiritualized, the return of the Lord. Even as it is today, we begin to see how Jesus Christ is being reinterpreted by many, and they begin to talk about the Christ Spirit. And you probably heard New Agers speaking about of the Christ Spirit, and it's as if everyone has this Christ Spirit within them, and how it's just a matter, as it was manifested in Christ, so it manifest within all of us. But there are no requirements of righteousness. There's no requirements of measuring up to a standard of holiness. But it's just a matter of allowing that which is within every person to manifest within them. But he says, now, understand the philosophies of today are not just something that happened today. I want you to know that there's a lot of history to a lot of the ideologies and philosophies that are circling around today. We begin to see the resurgence of a lot of stuff that the church had to fight against in the past. And if you do a study of church history, you do a study of all of these, I would say, these different religions and expressions of faith, you'll come to realize that as was said before, there's nothing new under the sun. That these aren't new ideas, but these are old ideas that are resurfacing in our day and time. And here's the tragedy of it all. It's new to us because many have not really understood or had any knowledge of these things that are circulating. And understand, one of the things that we've been doing for a number of years, and I would say that it's been criticized and many people don't understand, but we were fighting against those ideologies for a number of years. I'm talking about from way back in the 80s when a lot of the New Age philosophies and ideologies begin to surface or resurface. The new thought was one of the things. And we understand this whole thing of taking and one of the things in our day and time, this whole thing of neuro-linguistics. You might hear me talk about that. Neuro has to do with mind and linguistics, words. So it is saying that you create your own destiny with your words. You probably heard this kind of language before. Is that the powers in your tongue and how you through speaking can speak things into existence? And the Bible didn't really say that. There's a misinterpretation of Scripture when it talks about God who called those things that are not as though they were. He didn't say that we call things that are not as though they were. It is saying God who calleth things that are not as though they were. Because God, through speaking, created the universes. And understand this. And let's get away from this thing. We're not little gods. We're not little gods. So that's another misnomer that many have come to a place of embracing this, is that since we were born of God, then we become little gods. So therefore, whatever God did in creation, we begin to create with our tongue and with our mouths, and that we have this ability to do all. All of these things aren't new. This is New Age philosophy. These are New Age ideologies that are now resurfacing in order to counteract the authentic, so that people will be blinded to the truth. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We begin to see I can go on and on and on, things that you're familiar with, and I don't want you to think I'm picking on anybody, but I just want you to know that I don't want you to be misinformed. There's a whole lot of stuff out there, and if you're not careful, it's easy to succumb to that and believe, since so many people are believing it, that you've embraced the truth. So the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, and that day, they overly spiritualized it. They didn't believe that there would be a literal physical return of the Lord. They believed that this was, they overly spiritualized it as it is today. And they said, so now there were many that begin to believe that it already happened. He said, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together into him, we ask you, don't be shaken as if you were left out. Don't be troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And then it says something that we need to pay attention to. It says, let no one deceive you by any means. Oh, that's been the thing that we've been pressing very strongly. Let no one deceive you by any means, because there are many tricks of the enemy. He will use all kind of ploys in order to deceive individuals. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that the whole world lie under the sway of the wicked one. So what it says, it is saying that when we look at the direction of the world system, we look at what's happening with the masses, the majority of people, it says the whole world, if you align yourself and you're trying to contemporize your whole life and stay in touch with what's happening today, it says the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. So we have to be very careful that we're not just yielding ourselves to modernity and allowing whatever's happening that we move in that particular direction. But we are like the salmon, that we have to swim against the tide. There are things that we have to say and do, and the way we think, it must go against the grain. We cannot just succumb to the pressure of conformity, because it's very easy to do that. It's get to the place you said, I'm tired of fighting, so therefore I yield. But we must continue to fight. Let me tell you something. And these teachings that I'm doing here is because I'm coming. I want you to understand that we're closer than we've ever been to God, to the return of the Lord. In fact, this scripture proves that. The proof of that is in the scripture. Because he says, because look what happens. Let no one deceive you by any means. He says, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. What is he saying here? He is saying that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You see, don't soon be shaken. Don't allow the pressures of this world to shake you. That's what he's really saying. He said, because what will happen, here's the other part. There are people that will fall away that won't even recognize how far away they've fallen. That's the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. The Lord says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And he says, wherewith shall we return? How shall we return? And when did we do? Before he gets to the part of return, he said, you offered me the spotted speckle. You offered me the leftovers. Your time, your talent, your energies are not directed towards me any longer because other things have become priority in your life. And what is happening, that's a part of the falling away. It's when we reprioritize our lives and put God in a little corner so that he's no longer as important to us as he ought to be. He said, now I want you to understand this. That's the falling away. We mentioned before that the whole world lies with the wicked one. He says, now, let me just put it this way. Every one of us, we're going to face, as we come closer and closer to the return of the Lord, the temptations are going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. In fact, more opportunities to defect will come our way than ever before. You see that? And then, if you're merely religious, you won't even know. But understand this. We got to be very careful. That's why the Bible says when we took communion on Sunday, examine yourselves. That's serious business. It's not just saying eat some bread and drink some juice and that be the extent. He said, no, really look at where you stand in relation. How was that fire burning in your heart when you first came to know the Lord? Let me ask you another question. Has that fire not just maintained itself, but has it become more intense? Are you more intense now than you were when you first started your journey? If that's not the case, guess what's happening? There's been the enemy has caused you to begin to fall away. Do you see that? People begin to get waxing cold. The Bible talks. You see, all the scripture helps us understand. Your heart is waxed cold. It becomes cold. And understand, you become desensitized. That's no longer, that fervor is no longer there. That fervor is no longer there. But understand, that's why I keep saying it over and over again, that God is getting ready to reveal his power again, his strength again. And some that ought to be the ones that God desired to use in displaying his power will be those that have fallen so far away that they become useless in relation to what God is ready and willing to do in our day and time. And God will have to raise up somebody in order to do it. And what will happen, those that should have been used will be spectators. They will be sidelined because, understand, if we don't use it, we lose it. I'm not just talking about losing your salvation completely. I'm just talking about losing your usefulness to God. Yeah, you see, being at a place where there will be those that will be sitting on the sideline watching the power of God manifest, watching the great things and mighty things that God always had the ability to do. They will be spectators, and they will say, I want in on it. And the Lord will say, that's what I wanted to do in you, but you had other things in your heart and mind that disqualified you. And what happens, and you can fall so far away from the Lord that understand you can no longer be used by him. And then what will happen, you can become embittered and you can actually separate yourself from the Lord. I want you to hear what I'm saying here. You become embittered because what happens, you say, Lord, why are you using them and not using me? You see, you can't go before the Lord with an attitude as if God is unfair, that God is mistreating you or maltreating you. But understand, we're warning this church because we have a history. God used us mightily. And God, that was merely the tip of the iceberg. The callings and the callings of God and the gifts of God are without repentance. If God placed something in our midst, you know what God is doing? God is still saying, this is what I've given you, but what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? When I look at Atlanta, what Atlanta has become, I'm just telling you now, when I look at what the city has become, when I begin to look at what the church in Atlanta has become, it breaks my heart because I realize, I said, look at what the Lord was attempting to do in the late 70s and the early 80s and years that's gone by. This is what the Lord had in mind. These are the things that God wanted to do and was willing to do. And this is how God is desiring to still use us. But look at the falling away. Look at the falling away is that the people's heart. And understand, some people think that if you just, you know, you draw more people with sugar and just say you're sugarcoating things to make everybody feel good because they come to church feel good. But you also drive flies with sugar, you see. You draw flies. You know, other things are attracted to sugar, too. You don't sugarcoat the gospel. But understand what God is wanting to do with us. We understand that the shaking is taking place, and he's trying to shake us up, awaken us to the reality that God has given us something. God has placed, you see, God has placed us in a position, this church now, and I'm talking about this portion of the body of Christ, Abundant Life, now Cross Culture Church, as a part of the whole of what he's desiring to do, and especially to make an impact upon Metro Atlanta. It is to make an impact upon the globe, but especially our influence that we once had. The Lord is still saying, he says, I want to raise the level of your influence, but influencing them to be drawn even closer and closer to me. It is not a matter because people will be, if they're drawn to us, they'll be drawn to the model that we portray before them. And we want to make sure they're drawn to the right model. Now, let me go back. The falling away will take place first. And if it will take a person has to be literally blind, spiritually blind, to deny the fact that there has been a falling away in the body of Christ in America. You have to be honest. You see, in America, and I begin to look in other places too, that falling away is taking place. But understand, he says, but the day of the Lord will not take place unless the falling away happens first. So understand. So on God's calendar, according to God's time schedule, this is supposed to happen. But I don't want the falling away to be us. Let it be somebody else. The falling away will take place first. He says, because once the falling away has occurred, as it is occurring, watch what's going to happen. He said, then the man of sin is revealed. And the man of sin is revealed. It says that what will happen, the devil then will take off his disguise. He said, I don't have to fool you any longer. I don't have to act as if I'm someone that I'm not. I can just tell you who I am and watch what will happen, and people will still follow. Have you heard that before? I want you to hear. I can tell you that I don't have your interest in, I don't have humanity's interest. I don't worship the Lord God of Almighty. I don't have any confidence in God. God is not God. But understand this, you are God and we are God, I'm God. So we don't have to worship him any longer. You don't, it doesn't require that any longer. In fact, not only that, that's one way of Antichrist is the denial of Christ, but here's the other part of it, is fighting against Christ. It's both ways. It is saying, now you don't have to do it longer, and those that do it, guess what? You're going to have to contend with me. That's the Antichrist. So what is happening in our day and time? We begin to see the heat rising, where now it's becoming more difficult to proclaim the name of Jesus. Now, if that wasn't enough to cause the church to desire to come together and begin to address the issues of racism and classism and all the other things, I mean, what is it going to take for the church to come together? If we begin to understand what's happening here, the enemy is showing his face now. He's making his intentions known. He is saying that this is what the Bible says, but you don't have to believe the Bible any longer. First of all, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean what you thought it meant. The reinterpretation of the scriptures, reinterpreting the scripture, it doesn't mean that. You see, you believed that this is what it said, but let me tell you something. It didn't mean that. He says, now, who's to say that it's the word of God to begin with? Because there are many others that have writings and teachings that are on the same level as the word of God. You follow what I'm saying? So the man of sin being revealed, then this person rises up that becomes more of an authority than the word of God. People will begin to believe a person more than God himself. What will draw the attention? What will attract the attention of the masses? Let me tell you what usually attracts. Stardom. Notoriety. If a person has notoriety, stardom, Lucifer was the angel of the star of the morning, the angel, the archangel that had all, you talk about musical, all of those, all the musical instruments were inside of him. I mean, he had all that going. In other words, he was in the sight of those that would see him, he was glorious. And as a result of that, understand this, he stood in such a way that he could say, even to the people, that I'm going to be like the Most High God. Because look here, because now you can see me, and everything that you perceive to be of God is manifested in me. Not only that, listen to this now. I'm a worshiper. Now understand, say, in other words, I can lead the worship service. Why? Because I can bring you into my experience. But understand this. But understand, who am I worshiping? I'm worshiping myself. I'm worshiping myself, and I'm bringing you into the worship experience. And what happens? Because he's so glorious. And understand, the non-thinking individuals and those that are mesmerized by all of his beauty would automatically just move in that particular direction. They said, we've never heard it like that before. We've never seen it that way before. Now understand this, but this is what the word of God says. But look, I understand all of that, but man, he couldn't have all that going on and not be of God. Look at all of the things that are impressive. Look at all. You see what I mean? So what happens? The man of sin will be revealed. So that character no longer matters. I want you to hear this now. Character no longer matters, because understand, if you take away the character of God, Christ manifesting the character of God, if you take that away and yet people are still willing to follow, why are they still following? Because now, that which is more impressionable has a greater attraction. It is the impression that's being made that becomes the draw, becomes the attraction. And look what happens. So now he no longer has to represent God, but he can become God. The devil is revealing himself. He's manifesting himself in these last days. I want you to see it now. And he can like to say, look, I'm evil, but you're going to like it. You'll be all right with that. I don't believe in peace the way you believe in peace. I believe I'm against this. I'm against that. I'm against everything that God is for, and I'm for everything that God is against. But you'll still vote for me. Are you hearing something? Are you hearing something here? That's the kind of world that we're living in. But at the same time, a falling away. The people that's supposed to be the standard bearers are growing worse, and I mean weary, or indifferent. Their indifference, where it doesn't matter to us, because they don't see a connection between the things that's happening in the world and the attitude and disposition of the people that God is relying upon so that he may show his difference among them. So this is what we have to contend with right now, the falling away. But let me tell you something. And I sense it. I talked to some other pastors as well. But I sense in my heart that we're closer to the return of the Lord than we've ever been before. And what happens, and I would venture to say, this is where I stand. I said, the Lord will bring us to the place where we don't have what we expect. We don't get what we want and what we think we deserve. And then the Lord said, but do you love me more than these? Are you hearing this? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me? That's that comparison. This is what he does. He says, now you can have what the world has to offer. You can move in that direction with the world. You can move. In fact, let me tell you something. You can have what you're seeking after in a quicker manner. You can get it without having to go through the challenges that you're going through now. He said, but do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this? Now, how can that be a legitimate temptation lest you would love to participate or be a part of something else? He says, but do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this? I'm talking to y'all now. You're going to face some challenges. You're going to be faced. Some people are going to come in your lives. Do you love me more than that? Do you see that? Some opportunities are going to be presented. Do you love me more than the opportunity that's presented? So when the pressure, when the tension is there, where it would be easy to succumb to the pressure, that's the comparison in order to prove the integrity of your heart. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than? Because the Lord is coming back soon, so whatever you're having to deal with or contend with is not forever. Because it's an indication that he's closer than he's ever been before. But if it were possible, the enemy would even deceive the very elect. So the shaking that's taking place is really to test the quality of your faith and the character of your heart in order to show that you will withstand all of the wiles of the enemy. And don't ever think that you're doing this on your own. It's really the power of God within you. See, you didn't know, I didn't know, we didn't know that that power was that strong, that God is able to keep us from falling. But understand, it is proven when the test is placed before us. You said, the Lord, you are able to keep us from falling and present us faultless for your presence with exceeding joy. You can do that. These aren't just words on the page. That's our reality when we're facing the challenges. We're facing those giants that are before us. So the falling away is taking place. It's happening. It's happening. The man of sin is being revealed. But here's the rest of it. And when the man of sin, see, sin has to run its full course. Sin has to run its full course. He's not going to let you just play meddle with sin. He's not going to just let you toy around with it. Those that are toying around with sin, those that are kind of bench warmers. I mentioned the other day about lukewarmness, the Laodicean, give the people what they want. You see, what happened, he won't allow the Laodicean church to remain the Laodicean church, where people will just go after what they always desired, what their passions, whatever their passions will lead them. But the time will come when, yes, the man of sin is being revealed, but then the Lord is about to reveal himself. You see, in the midst of all of this, the Lord shows up. He says, when you think that nothing is going to happen, when you're at this place where you begin to take that which God has spoken for granted, people begin to dismiss it as being something so far distance in the future that it probably won't happen in our lifetime. You see the attitude? That's the attitude people will have. Whatever the Bible says, those that's in the field will still be, they'll be working the field. Those that will, whatever act of marrying and giving, whatever activities they were engaged in, it will be just like another day. Just like any other day, just a plain old day, no different than any other day. What's your priority today? Well, I just feel like I need to go and I just want to take a movie and I just want to relax. I just want to lay out on the beach. I just feel that, you see, just another day. Because I understand, hearts grown cold, no longer excited about the Lord, no longer anticipating his return. You know, no lamps that are trimmed, filled with oil, you see, anticipating the return of the Lord. In other words, what I'm trusting is happening, even as you're hearing this message, is heightening your intensity in expecting his return. You see, the bride says, come. The Spirit, first of all, says, come. The Spirit is saying, come, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven and earth, the Holy Spirit, you see, because no man knows the day or the hour. Only God knows when he's going to return. He's going to send his Son, and the Holy Spirit will execute whatever is to take place. But understand, but only the Father has the exact time when it's going to take place. The very moment. And he does it quickly. It will come like the twinkling of an eye. And you know what a twinkling of an eye is? That's quick, isn't it? That's just like we're here, then it's done. It can happen. So the Lord is saying, he says, so what happened? Whatever you're doing at the time you least likely expected. Because understand, those that anticipate his return are excited about him. You're anticipating his return. You're saying, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit says come, and the Spirit inside of you will say come. Because, understand, the bride says come. But the reason that the bride is saying come is because the Spirit is in the bride. There is a heightened degree of expectancy within the bride. See, God is bringing us a heightened expectancy. We're full of expectation. You say, Lord, this thing is getting so tight that if you don't come, we're doomed. If you don't come, we're doomed. Because look like everything is closing in on us. The enemy is having its way. He's having a field day. And not only that, he's attacking our minds. He's trying to deal with our minds. But understand, in our minds, we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're casting down imaginations. Now, we talk about casting down imaginations. It meant that imaginations are coming. And every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. So what happens, that's the fight. But you're saying, I'm tired of this. Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, because I won't have to deal with this any longer. I won't have to contend with the challenges that I'm facing from day to day. But understand this, the difference is that you're not succumbing to the pressure. But I didn't say the pressure didn't come. But you're not succumbing to the pressure that's come. Now listen to what he says. So you're saying, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit is saying, come. The bride is saying, come. Then he says, even so, come. Even so, come. So what happens? The Lord shows up. He manifests himself to us in a time when we least expect it. So we are, it's on the bottom here, okay. We are anticipating the return of the Lord. So now you understand what he says. Paul began to say, he said, the man of sin, he said, exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see that? I pretty much covered that part. And then he says, this is Paul, he's pleading as I'm pleading with you. He said, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now he's writing them a letter. He said, when I was with you, I was pleading with you. I was getting this across to you through my message. He says, and now you know what's restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. You know what's restraining? It is the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's keeping you. When the pressure is working against your thought lives, you follow that, but the Holy Spirit is keeping you. When the Holy Spirit, when the enemy is trying to get you to do something that you know would be a contrary to the character of Christ, in your own character, because you have the character of Christ, you are his vessel, his instrument. But understand this: while it's happening, it is the Holy Spirit working in you. The reason that you're not out there doing crazy things is because it's the Holy Spirit on the inside. He works and he constrains us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He said, that's not you. Yeah, it came to mind, but that's not you. He said, but I sure feel like doing something. But that's not you. That's who the enemy is trying to get. He's trying to give you that identity. But that's not really you. That's not you. Don't experiment with that, because that's not you. Don't overly entertain it, but cast the thought down, because that's not you. He said, so watch what happens. He said, I told you these things. He said, but the Holy Spirit is restraining. But the time, and he may be revealed in his own time. The Holy Spirit, you understand now? Now what happens? We talk about that the enemy, the man of sin, is going to be revealed. But now, watch this. Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Now you see something here? The Holy Spirit is going to reveal himself. Because you might have thought it was you. You might have thought that you had the strength. You said, well, I'm so glad that I was able to resist. I'm so glad that I didn't give in. I'm so glad that I didn't succumb to the pressure. But you didn't realize that it was the Holy Spirit keeping you. The Holy Spirit was keeping you. What he did, when the thing that you would normally do and the opportunity, because I understand the opportunity was there, but you didn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit that was keeping you. He said, the Holy Spirit, God was saying, I've invested too much of myself in you to let you go. I think I heard another preacher, I think it was one minister on radio, he said, when we're so foolish to do the right thing ourselves, that the Holy Spirit, now understand this, don't you just get to a place and throw caution to the wind, but the Holy Spirit will give you every kind of warning in order to keep you from succumbing to the pressure. He said, no, I invested too much in you. I'm not going to let you just fall into foolishness because of your moment of weakness. He constrains us. He constrains us. Oh, let me tell you, the keeping power of God. What God does, you see, that's why, don't, the only way for you to go all the way into that lifestyle, or whatever the challenge is that you have to violate a whole lot of warnings. There's a whole lot of warning signs that will come your way. The Holy Spirit warning you. It's like the flashing light, and you're trying to snuff that light out, but the Lord is saying, stop it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then you say, well, I'm going to do it anyhow. The Lord said, I said, don't do it. They're chasing the Lord. Now your heart is grieved. And the Lord is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. The grieving, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved because now the emotion of the Holy Spirit. But if you continue to move in that direction, I mentioned on Sunday, if you move in that, yes, you'll be convicted. If you have to come quickly to the Lord, repent. If you fall, the Bible talks about come to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, that you may find grace to help in the time of need. But if you continue in sin, let me tell you something, you build up a resistance to the voice of God. And then you stop feeling any guilt, any pain when you engage in activity. And let me tell you something, this is a day where I would venture to say that many have reached this place of reprobation because the Word of God does not convict them, it angers them. There are a lot of people that are angered and they're offended by the truth rather than convicted by the truth. I'm telling you the truth now. And that's why a lot of people, I won't come back anymore. I won't follow anymore. Jesus had a large number of disciples that were following him. And Jesus said, let's eat my flesh and drink my blood. You have no part in me. They said, I'm joining another church. I'm going where the requirements are not so restrictive. I'm going to go to the Laodicean people because I want what I want. And I don't want these requirements to be placed so heavily upon me. Do you follow that? So what he says here, so this is what he does. The Holy Spirit will convict us. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin so that we sense the weightiness of sin on a regular basis. But then those that are convicted will yield and they will repent so they can get back in right relationship with him. But then those that are embittered will rebel, and they will go their own way. So now, the Holy Spirit will be revealed in his own time. The Lord will begin to show us what's keeping us. The one who's keeping us, Holy Spirit. And we will become more and more reliant upon him once we see him at work as he's working. And let me just stop there for a moment, because he's going to reveal himself in many ways. We're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw a bit of it on Sunday, but we're going to see the Holy Spirit working among us. You see, this is going to be a Spirit-filled church. Did you realize that? This is going to be a Spirit-filled church. This is going to be a Spirit-inspired, a Spirit-filled church. What I mean, that's going to be a time where there will be no agenda. Holy Spirit's going to take over and do whatever he will to do. Why? Because all of the resistance will be done away with. Do you follow? Can you imagine that? We walk into an environment and understand, not only that, when you step outside of these doors, you won't even have any charge, or you won't have any control over your own life. But the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you will be so obedient to him. I'm not talking about just, you see, the obedience. Here we have to practice disciplines. But then when the Holy Spirit takes charge of our lives, there's no forcing people to respond. And the Holy Spirit will start using. Holy Spirit may speak and say, I want you and you and you to go over here, and I'll meet you there, because there's a work I want you to do over there. And there's a people that's awaiting your arrival. And when you get there, the people are there. And then he'll say, you over here. He said, the three of you, I want to send you over there. When you get there, you're going to see such and such and such. There's a people awaiting your arrival. I want you to go this place. This Sunday, because of the fact that you're on one accord, now I don't want you to come to the assembly. I'm sending you out. You see, some people want to go out too fast. They think that, see, they're not on one accord. They're not on one accord, but they want to go out. What are they representing? They cannot represent the Holy Spirit, because you got to be on one accord, one mind, for the Holy Spirit to work this way. But then the Holy Spirit will say, well, I don't want you to come. I want the four of you to go to a particular place outside of the four walls of the church, because what you've received within the church now is so working within you that you can take it and have an impact. I want to start a fire over there. I want to start another fire over here. You follow what's happening? So that's what the Lord will do as the Holy Spirit take full charge of this ministry. And then we begin to send people out, as it was in the upper room. One accord, one place, suddenly the Holy Spirit came, and then they were representatives of the experience, of the encounter that took place in the upper room. So now, he says, so the Holy Spirit is going to be revealed. He revealed himself in his own time. He was the one, he says, but now, watch what happens, but he now is taken away. Now, when he is removed from the situation, we begin to see lawlessness at a level that we've never seen it before. He says, so for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And when he's taken out of the way, then the lawless one, but I believe we're going to see an influx. We're going to see revival before, I pray that we see revival before all of this take place. We might have already seen it, but I'm trusting for another move. I said, Lord, just one more time. Give us another chance. Give us another chance to really be used mightily by you. But then he says, now the lawless one will be revealed. But when he's revealed, he said, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Now that's bigger than revival. That's the coming. That's the second coming of the Lord. When he shows up again, he will consume him with the breath of his mouth. Listen to this now. The breath of his mouth. What is that? Spirit. That's the spirit. And destroy. But now it is a ruach. When the Lord releases his breath, he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Now we begin to see the destructive power of his breath. He destroys with he consumes with the breath of his mouth. And not only does he consume with the breath of his mouth, but he also destroys with the brightness of his coming. There's too much light. There's darkness all around. But when the light shows, understand, the world is getting darker and darker. But when the Lord shows up, the world will not be able to handle the brightness of his coming. And those that desire darkness over light cannot handle the brightness of his coming. That's too bright for them. The light of his glory will shine. Can you imagine this? That you see, can anyone look upon the Lord and live? You can't look upon God and live because of the brightness of his coming, the brightness of his appearance. So what happens, the Lord in all of his glory, all of his righteousness will show up. And when he shows up, it would expose the sin that resides in individuals. It will say, you say, well, I have no sin. Can you handle his appearing? What God is doing, he's purging you of the sin so you can handle his appearing. In other words, as I said, you can't just be on the same level that you were on when you first started your walk. It must be intensified. Why? Because you're being prepared for his coming, for his return. So he's getting stuff out of you so you can handle his return. In other words, there are things, I die daily, there are things in you that must die in order to be in a place where you can handle his encounter. And I say, Lord, whatever is still in me, I want it to be burned. I want it to be further purged when you return rather than destroyed. But if you're attached to the sin, guess what? He will consume with the brightness of his coming everything that's attached to sin. That's why you need to hear the truth now. Because the enemy, we mentioned the lawless one, is bringing people to a greater level of lawlessness. And it's getting to a place where they have a grip on lawlessness, a fixation upon lawlessness. They're holding it tightly. The grip is tighter than ever before. So when he comes, understand everything that's attached to lawlessness is destroyed. They can't let go. If the Lord shows up, I'll let go. No, you can't let go then. Because he comes quickly and he destroys everything. That brightness of his coming is enough to destroy all lawlessness and godliness. But here, if we've been saying, come, Lord Jesus, we despise the sin in us. He comes as a refiner's fire and a full of soap. You see that? The Lord is just, that'll be idea of release. Because now he will burn all of the stuff that we've been fighting and struggling with. It's gone. It's gone. He said now, because the bride's come, he will bring knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We will begin, you see, it is a brightness, a physical brightness that's coming, but we also understand he brings knowledge and wisdom so that now we see into situations, things that we otherwise would be incapable of seeing. We see the grossness of sin. We see the ugliness of the thing that we would have been attracted to. See, you could sit in the dark, but when the light comes on, you say, you mean to tell me, as grotesque as this is, that this was attractive to me? You mean to tell me that this is what I was going after in the dark? The light came on, and you see the ugliness of sin. And you say, it's grotesque. It's hideous. It's hideous. We can describe it as being hideous, but if you're blind and if you're going by feeling, it's not hideous because it feels good. Because you're in the dark. But light comes on. He said, tell me, what was I attaching myself to? That which was destroying me. It was eating me alive. I see death. I was attaching myself to death, but not knowing it. The brightness is coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. You see that? When the lawless one comes, it's according to workers. That's his work. He is saying, I'm gradually bringing you, I'm visualizing, I'm bringing you to a place where you can see me through my works. He says, and what happens? You won't see me as who I really am. You see my works and understand they are attractive to your nature, the fallen nature of man. He said, but the time will come that I'll reveal myself and you'll see that the one that planted the seed of rebellion in you was Satan all the while. He says, according to the working of Satan. He said, well, watch this. With all power, with all power, because understand, if you're impressionable, signs and lying wonders. The reason they're lying wonders is because they have you baffled to believe that they're so wondrous, but it's really a farce. He said, but because here's what it is, and with all unrighteousness, for unrighteous deception among those who perish, they were deceived. He said earlier, I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be dismayed. It's among those who are perishing. He said, why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. It wasn't that they didn't hear the truth, but they did not receive the love of the truth. Now, to receive the love of the truth, that love for the truth has to come from a source, right? The source of love. You see, God is love. So the love of the truth is really an indication as to how much you love God. But only the Spirit can bring you into that relationship. So what happens, the objective of the Holy Spirit is to bring you, you see, the Spirit in Christ, the Spirit of Christ in us, crying out, Abba, Father, bring us into right relationship so that now we have a love for the truth. And let me tell you something. It's a whole lot of people that don't have a love for the truth. You know, they can take it or leave it. They're going to take it or leave it. Or they say, your truth, my truth. And let me tell you something. Some of us are aware of the fact that people have that. But don't let that be us. Even some of us who don't know that we still carry that same mindset, even though we think that we're not carrying that mindset. But to have a love for the truth means that there's a sense of urgency to hear what God has to say so that our lives could align with what God is, in fact, saying. What is God saying, and how can we become that message that God is speaking? They did not receive a love for the truth. Because the other part, if they don't receive the love for the truth, they're impressed by the lying wonders, Satan. The unrighteous deception and all the other trickery that's taking place on the other side. Because what happens, they said, this is something I can see. And all I hear is a promise from you. Promises, promises, promises. All of his promises. You keep talking about what's going to happen, but they're showing us what's happening now. Do you see that? See, all you're talking about is some futuristic, something in the future. What about now? I want my pie in the sky now. I want my blessings now. You see that? I want my blessings. I want my heaven now. All lying wonders. And then people really believe that they found heaven on earth. I've heard people even talk about that. You can have heaven on earth and heaven too. Let me tell you something. That's not scriptural, biblical. Even as we look at the examples of those that went before us, those that even desire to live godly lives will suffer persecution. We don't look for it, but it's going to come. So now, it says here, all lying wonders, they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. They will embrace the lie that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth. But here's the part, pleasure. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. This word, to start over, it talks about the mystery of iniquity. This word iniquity, listen what it means here. It's in the Greek, it's anomia. Now, I talked about nominus on the part nomia. That's law, nomos rather. That's law, having to do with law. But then we talk about the other is against. It is against the law, or anomia. Wickedness, entertaining thoughts or ideas that violate holiness, righteousness, and one's own conscience. But there's another word we talk about iniquity, and that's paranomia, which means breaking. Para is against, nomos, law. It is as transgression, where people go beyond the law. They don't just break it, they go beyond the law. This is where God has set boundaries. We're gonna transgress it. We're not gonna honor the boundaries that God has, in fact, established. So historically, we begin to see a flawed view of Christ leading to a flawed view or interpretation of Scripture and of faith. That's happening today. A flawed view of Christ. If you don't see Christ as he is, then you have a flawed view of interpreting Scripture, and your faith will also be flawed. That's why the Bible says, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I'm closing with this because what happens when we have a flawed view of Christ, I talked some time ago about fault lines. Then there are fault lines in our faith. Fault lines. You begin to see earthquakes because there are fault lines. Here's what it says concerning fault lines. In geology, a fault is a planar fracture or discontinuity in a volume of rock, across which there has been significant displacement as a result of rock mass movement away. So as it moves, we begin to see this fracture. Large faults within the Earth's crust result from the action of plate tectonic forces. With the largest form, the boundaries between the plates, such as subduction zones, are transformed faults. So we talk about fault lines. We begin to see the shifting of the Earth, and then eventually there's a tremor, and then you have what's called an earthquake. And you know how destructive an earthquake is. And I'm doing this in relation to faith, so that whatever might have been on the surface, we begin to see it shaken and falling apart. Peter began to help them to understand this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, brethren, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, no fault. The fault. So be found in him without spot or fault. And consider that the sufferings of our Lord is salvation. Now there it is. The suffering, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He put up with us a long time. It is our salvation. That's why it didn't happen yet. He says, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. They're hard to understand. They're not simple stuff. They're not just something that you pick up, but they have difficulty with Paul's teaching. But watch what he says here. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. I wanted to make that point before I close. They take the scripture and they twist it, thinking to their advantage. As they twist it, they say, I'll make it say what I want it to say. But they twist it to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So you can make it say what you want it to say, but they're stealing what God said. And what happens is to your own destruction. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow, here it is now, grow in grace, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. I want to read this out of the Message. It says, so my dear friends, since this is, now before we get to the soul, look what it says in the 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away with great noise, elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are on it, that are in it, will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens. That's this future stuff. A new heaven, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. But let me read out of the message, that 14th verse. So, my dear friends, since this is what you have to look forward to, we mentioned earlier on, you're hearing stuff to look forward to. Do your very best to be found living at your best in purity and peace. Interpret our master's patient restraint for what it is, salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refer to this in all his letters and has written you essentially the same thing. Some think Paul writes are difficult to understand. Some things Paul writes, rather, are difficult to understand. He said, irresponsible people who don't know what they're talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of the scriptures, too, destroying themselves as they do it. They mess up their own lives as they twist the scripture. They thought they finally got God on their side by making him say something that he really didn't say. He said, but you, friends, are well warned, aren't you? You're being well warned. He said, be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose-talking teachers. Loose-talking, they say anything that people want to hear and impress them. He said, now grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master now and forever. Yes. I'm going to close here as we begin to look at what we have to look forward to. Either this is true or it's all a lie. And if it's a lie, there's no sense in you coming back. In fact, take that book that you're carrying around and put it in the fire. And just think your way into whatever you want to believe. Just trust your own mind. But if this is the truth, then we better take heed to what the Lord is saying to us. Now, there's a whole lot of people that's being bound up, and they're being, iniquitous thoughts and ideas are attacking their minds. And understand, many of us are coming to the pressure. But we're praying, if you're one of the people that you want to be freed from the onslaught of the enemy, because he's revealing himself, just like the Lord is revealing himself. But this should be your declaration of independence from the devil, the flesh, the world, and the devil. When we say the flesh, understand the desire of the flesh, the world, the pressures of the world, and the devil who's behind it all. And you said, but the sin is still in my members, but you buffet your body. In other words, you discipline your body, bring it under subjection, lest you yourself be disqualified. And what will happen? The struggle will remain, but God will give you the victory. There'll always be something in your flesh that's going to do something against the will of God. But understand this, God will give you the victory. But then the desire is, who will deliver us from this body of death? I thank God. See, that I praise him and I worship him and I obey him with my mind and my spirit. And that's what God is wanting to do in you. That even when the struggles come, the greater one is on the inside. So you don't have to succumb to the pressure. So Father, I pray, even tonight, I pray for those in the house and those that will watch this, that you will bring them to the place so that they'll understand even all the more the wiles of the enemy, the things that the devil is doing in this last day to deceive, so that they're not deceived, and that they will have a love for the truth, a love for the truth. I'm trusting that, first of all, thank you, Lord, that you place truth within me. I'm not taking that for granted, because I too could be so easily deceived. But Lord, you're yet working in me to strip me of any kind of motive or any kind of ambition that would be selfish, so that my heart is really becoming all the more after you. And now, Lord, as I follow you, may those who desire to know you, follow me as I follow you. And then, Lord, may our dependency not be merely upon flesh, but upon your Spirit leading and guiding. But convict, Lord, those who are not there yet. Bring them to the place of realizing that they still have time and that your Spirit is still available to work in their lives. Those that have fallen, Lord, you're God of restoration. And those that attempted to fall, let them know, Lord, how devastating it is to be separated from you. So in all of this, Lord, this day, we take what we have, we place it before you, our lives, our time, our talent, our treasures, our very lives, everything that makes us who we are, we place it before you. And we honor you, Lord, because we know that the time is coming very soon when we will see you as you really are. So we give you the praise, we give you honor, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name.